Hello, this is David Wilcoxon, and in part one, I said that there would be three videos about Daniel 9:24, but there are so many verses to share that it's better to have four short videos, and you may think that providing this many verses is tedious, but since people proclaim that the six things in Daniel 9:24 have not been fulfilled yet, therefore the 70th week is yet future, so we must prove it. And it serves as a wonderful Bible study to remind us of the immense mercy given to us by the Father through His Son. So please watch part one first to understand the proper context. The narrative in Daniel 9 is about two covenants, the Mosaic covenant and the everlasting covenant of peace in Daniel 9:4, which converge at Messiah's blood sacrifice as the spotless lamb on Passover in the middle of the 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel 9 in the spring of 31 AD. As we go through the six things in Daniel 9:24, remember Daniel's prayer about the sins of the Jewish people who had failed to keep the Mosaic covenant as they promised. The Old Testament narrative, which points to Messiah, is aiming towards the cross of Calvary. The Israelite Jews can't meet the requirements of the Mosaic covenant, as no man can. That's the point. The Messiah is needed to do it for us. Daniel 9:26 declares that Messiah is cut off, but not for himself. It's not because he sinned, but that he came to make atonement for sinners. Keep in mind the hope of Daniel 9:4, which points to the everlasting covenant, says keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, the Heavenly Father, and to them that keep his commandment. So Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. In Isaiah 53, we see a prophecy about Messiah sacrificing himself for our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities, which bestows upon us an everlasting righteousness and reconciles us to the Father. So the Mosaic covenant and the everlasting covenant, which are the topics of Daniel 9, converge at Messiah's death as the Passover lamb. Regarding the need to finish the transgression, people proclaim that transgressions have not ceased, so this has not been fulfilled. But finishing the transgression has a very different meaning. According to Young's Analytical Concordance, the word finish means to complete doing, and it can mean to cut off. And that's interesting, as Daniel 9:26 points to Messiah being cut off, killed by a violent death, but not for anything he did, not for his sins. It's pointing to the Jewish leaders making false witness against him and delivering him up to be crucified. The phrase finish the transgression is not just pointing to the need for the Jews to stop their transgressions against the Heavenly Father, but to them finishing their transgression of killing the prophets. In the Old Testament, we see the track record of the Jews in killing the prophets sent to them. Isaiah was reportedly sawn in two under the evil King Manasseh. After escaping death several times, Jeremiah was later stoned to death by the Jews. In Messiah's parable of the wedding feast, he points to the Jews who treated the father's servants spitefully, slew them, and rejected his son as their bridegroom. Matthew 22:7-8 says, "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy." In this parable, Messiah was pointing to the Roman army, who was sent to destroy Jerusalem and kill hundreds of thousands of Jews by the sword in 70 AD in that generation. In Messiah's parable of the wicked vine dressers, he points to the Jews finishing their transgression and causing the death of the son sent to them. Luke 20:14-15 says, "But when the vine dressers saw him, the son, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others." This was fulfilled by the Jewish leaders, who, when they delivered Messiah up to be crucified, they proclaimed, "Let his blood be on us." And those prophetic words were fulfilled when the unbelieving Jewish nation was destroyed during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD, when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, and 1.1 million Jews died in and around the city. Their blood filled the city, even in the temple. And I cover this time of great tribulation, called the time of Jacob's trouble, in the Olivet Discourse Decoded video series. In Messiah's condemnation of the Jewish leaders before his death, he pointed to the Jews finishing their transgression in delivering him up to be killed and in killing some of his disciples. He said, "Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourself, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" The Strong's Greek dictionary word for fill means to finish, to complete, to fulfill. And this is a direct match for the statement, finishing their transgression. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers, finish the transgression. Peter expressed the ultimate transgression of the Jewish leaders in Acts 3:13-15, which says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Thus we see that thy people of Daniel 9:24, the Jewish leaders, finished the transgression of killing the prophets who were sent to them, and killing the Heavenly Father's Son and some of his disciples. Stephen brought a legal case against the Jewish leaders and proclaimed, 'You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it.' In what marked their final rejection of their Messiah, they stoned Stephen to death, and the national transgression was complete. As I showed in the timeline videos, Stephen's death occurred in 34 AD, at the end of the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. The Jews finished the transgression of killing the prophets sent to them, and their judgment was determined. James, the son of Alphaeus, when preaching in Jerusalem, was stoned to death by the Jews and was buried there beside the temple. James, the brother of Messiah, was stoned to death by the Jews in 62 AD. So indeed, the Jews finished the transgression of killing the prophets sent to them, just as Messiah foretold. Daniel 9:26-27 proclaims that because of the overspreading of abominations, when the Jews delivered their promised Messiah up to be killed, Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed and the Jewish nation consumed. Daniel 9:27 says, "And for the overspreading of abomination, he, Messiah, shall make it desolate, even until the consummation." The Strong's Hebrew dictionary word for consummation means a completion, completely, to consume, an end, a riddance. After the Jewish-Roman War of 66-70 AD, Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed and the Jewish leaders were either killed or taken captive and sold as slaves. The unbelieving Jewish nation was effectively consumed, ended, destroyed. So we see how the Jews finished the transgression in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel when they delivered their innocent Messiah up to be killed, committing the ultimate transgression against the Heavenly Father. Now let's look at how Messiah fulfilled the demand to finish the transgression. Isaiah 53:5-6 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Isaiah 53:8 says, "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." So this message of being cut off matches Daniel 9:26, which says, "Messiah shall be cut off." Isaiah 53:12 says, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." And even when he was on the cross, Messiah said, "Forgive them, Heavenly Father, for they know not what they do." He made intercession for the transgressors. John 19:28-30 says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit." So what was finished? Messiah's fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and the need for temple animal sacrifices, as Messiah's one-time sacrifice paid the price for all sin. Daniel 9:27 points to Messiah, confirming the everlasting covenant with his blood in the middle of the 7 years of the 70th week, ending the need for temple animal sacrifices. Look at how Galatians 3 talks about the two covenants referred to in Daniel 9, the Mosaic covenant and the everlasting covenant. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God and Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed, Messiah, should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So the Mosaic covenant convicts us of our transgressions. Messiah fulfilled it perfectly in his atoning work as the spotless Passover lamb, confirmed the everlasting covenant to atone for our transgressions. The remembrance of our sin before the Father ends with Messiah. Hebrews 9:13-15 says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." So again, we see the two covenants referred to in Daniel 9, the Mosaic covenant and the everlasting covenant. The Mosaic covenant condemns the Jews and us to death. Messiah's one-time sacrifice in the middle of the 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel as the spotless Passover lamb ended the need for Mosaic covenant animal sacrifices, and it ended the condemnation and death penalty for our transgression. So we can see that the Jews finished the transgression by killing their promised Messiah, just as they had committed transgressions by killing the prophets sent to them. And we can see that Messiah's atoning work paid the price for the transgressions of his people. Regarding the phrase "to make an end of sins," the scriptures and Young's Literal Translation Bibles render it as "to seal up sin." It's not pointing to all sin in the world stopping in the 70th week, but rather to the Jews needing to stop their rebellion against the Father and to Messiah paying the price for our sins. Messiah confirming the everlasting covenant in the middle of the 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel 9 provides an effectual and permanent solution to the predicament of human sin. No man can stop sinning, so it's impossible that the Jews can ever make an end of sins. Did the Jewish leaders end their rebellion? Some believed in Messiah, but most of them rejected him. Now let's look at how Messiah made an end of sins. Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." John 1:29, "The next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Romans 6:10 says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God." Verses 17, 18, and 20 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. But then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Messiah died to sin once for all, and being made free from sin is making an end of sin. Romans 8:2-3 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh." 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Hebrews 9:26 says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." putting away sin is making an end of sins. Hebrews 9:28 says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Look at how Hebrews 10 compares the sacrifices of animals in the Mosaic covenant to that of Messiah in the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 10, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeated the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Messiah's sacrifice as the Passover lamb made an end of sins and atoned for our sins forever. Hebrews 10:16-18 says, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So remembering their iniquities no more is making an end of sins. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Spirit. 1 John 1:7 says, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 3:5 says, And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Taking away our sins is making an end of sins. Adam Clark's commentary on the Bible from 1832 says, regarding to make an end of sins, rather, to make an end of sin offerings, which our Lord did when he offered his spotless soul and body on the cross once for all. So Daniel 9:27 says, In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, which points to Messiah making an end to animal sin offerings with his one-time sacrifice for all sin. In the next video, I'll go through the next two things in Daniel 9:27, which were fulfilled during the 70th week of Daniel 9. If this video helped you, please click on the thumbs up, make a comment, and share it with others. You can print out PDF summaries, request a free PDF copy of the 70th week of Daniel 9 decoded book, or get a printed copy at www.70thweekofdaniel.com. That's all for today. I love y'all. Shalom.